Good morning, everybody. We are doing Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. This year is sponsored by Yitzwai, CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season. I think today we're actually going to mention something about Lulav and Esrog, so it's relevant. And breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch in honor of Jaime's granddaughter, as every week. Okay, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, on the second line from the top, Lishna Achrina. Lishna Achrina means we're in the middle of a sugya. We mentioned earlier, about, I don't know, halfway down on Yud Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel telling us something about sitting in the sukkah underneath a gag, meaning underneath some kind of a canopy, a covering, and so how much does that interfere with the yeshiva b'sukkah? And over there, we were told that there were three different gradations. The kila, which is a kind of a flimsy canopy, and then aklitin, which is a kind of a draped canopy with a central rod running across the middle, so there's no gag, and the kinupos, or kinopos, which is the four posts on the side of the bed that held up the canopy on the top. And so we're going to see a slightly different ruling regarding that today. So on the second line from the top, Lishna Achrina, Amri La Amr Rav Yudah Amr Shmuel, different version of what was said before. Before, Rav Yudah Amr Shmuel said that you're allowed to sleep in the sukkah in your bed, even if it has a gag, as long as it meets certain conditions. So over here we're being told, Murtar Lishon Bekilas Chasan and Besukkah Lefi She'ein La Gag. You can sleep in a sukkah which is surrounded by this kilas chasanim. This a kind of a I don't know. I don't have any good description of what it is. We don't really sleep in these kinds of things. Some kind of a surrounding curtain that also Rashi seems to say there's not levisha ain la gag. It doesn't have a gag, so you have the impression it means it's open on the top. So what would be the objection? There's nothing to object to. So Rashi says, no. It has that same central rod running down the middle, and then there's the draped bits on the side. So it runs, I guess, like a, not really teepee-ish, but kind of a tent, like a tent. So it says, Levisha in Lagag, because it doesn't ever stop and hit horizontally any area that it's horizontal, so it doesn't have a gag. So it's like the sides are running up and come to a point, running from front to back. The same as the naklitin from before and from today. Is it what?
Like
a clothes line where you hang a sheet over a clothes line. Yeah, and then it goes down to the sides. Anyway, so that doesn't count as a gag. So that's why he says you can sleep in that. So even though normally when you're in the sukkah, you're supposed to be under the schach. You're not supposed to be under something that's blocking you from the schach. But this wouldn't count, because that doesn't count as something blocking you from the schach, because it doesn't have a gag. Then he says, Yirafalpi shegevoa sara, even if it's ten tvachim high. Okay, so he's meikel. That's why Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, is meikel. Meisave, but they had a taina against him from Braisa. Hayashen bekila besukah lo yatzei dechavaso. But the Braisa says that if you're sleeping in the kila, in the sukkah, you know, obviously the Metzias was, and we've learned this several times, you know, over the years, is that they would sleep nude. That was the way they would normally sleep. That was like the common minhag. So obviously you would put, if you're going to be sleeping in the sukkah, you want to have some tzniyos around you, so they would sleep, you know, with these kinds of curtains around. So that was typical. So the question is, well, how do you pull that off? Are you allowed to do that? Is it a violation of, well, is it a bitul of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? So sometimes, yeah. So it says here that the Braisa says here, hayashin b'kila b'sukkah lo yatza. You can't sleep in one of these kila situations in the sukkah. So that goes against Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel. More answers. Well, yeah, that's a different kind of a kila. That's a kila where it actually does drape out, and you get a kind of a horizontal spread of the curtain on the top, and that's the objection. On the previous Amud, we had that also, just depended on if it's yitzfachim from the ground or not. So we're going to see that also coming up over here. Tashma. So what we said so far, at least at this point, is that according to this Lashon, if you have a kila, which is a very temporary structure that is not really attached to the bed, it seems to be a kind of a freestanding structure that holds up the curtains around, and on the top it just has this little drape. So according to this version, that'll be kosher unless the top curtain is actually held apart so that it has a horizontal space. Tashma, Brisa says in relation to this, Naklitin Shnayim, the Naklitin arrangement that you would have where you have a rod, a vertical rod on the front, on the top of the bed and on the bottom of the bed, kind of in the center, which runs up, and then you run a pole or a string from one top edge of one of the vertical posts to the other, and then you drape something over that. That was like the kilas chasadim that we said before. That's called naklitin. Kinopos or arba is where you have four posts on the corners, meaning one post on each corner, and then you drape a whole canopy over that. So if you have naklitin, which is shnayim, and kinopos, which is arba, pires al gabi kinopos psula, but al gabi naklitin is kishera. Okay, that's all confirming things that we've been seeing. But now we're seeing a little bit more of a constraint. Ubelvad shelo yunaklitin gavon mina mita asara tfachim. As long as the naklitin aren't 10 tfachim from the bed. 10 tfachim from the bed. Now what's all 10 tfachim? So we know that that in order to have a kosher sukkah, you need to have the sukkah 10 tfachim tall. So we're being told over here that that's based on simply the consideration that a gag doesn't count as a gag unless it's 10 tefachim of space, unless it covers over a height of 10 tefachim. Hagvoin menamita asara psula afabisha ein la gag. Wait a minute. But according to this braisa, the Gemara says that even an aklitin is subject to the 10 tefach rule, which means that if the 10 tefachim, the clothes-aligned version of the canopy it goes to a height of 10 tefachim, presumably it means it goes to a height of 10 tefachim, what, by the top piece, by the apex, the vertex, is that what we're talking about? Or is it at a point where you get at least a tefach of width, maybe, 10 tefachim? A little bit unclear. Anyway, but at least that's subject to that. So that if you have 10 tefachim tall, that'll be possible also, even though there's no gag, according to this braisa. So the Gemara says, well, shiny naklitin de kvi'i. Well, naklitin are going to be different from a kila. So in other words, the kila we said was okay, and there was no insistence that it be particularly low. It could be high also. But now the naklitin, we're being told here, according to this braisa, has to be low down. It can't be 10 tefachim. How tall is 10 tefachim? It's only 2.5 feet. Maybe up to 3.5. About 2.5 to 3.5 feet, something like that. So it's not pretty high.
Tefach is 6 inches.
What?
A tefach is around 6 inches.
Yeah, tefach is about 6. So you get 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim, the range among the poskim is anywhere from 30 to 40 inches, is the range for 10 tefachim. So it says here, so that's the braisa that seems to be an objection, a kasha against the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Gemara says, well, naklitin are different because they're more attached. They're kind of more built into the structure of the bed. So there's more of a concern. I guess that's the concept. There's more of a concern of treating it more like it's an actual gag. So that's why they insisted it not be tall, yitvachim tall. You have the impression from over here that it's yitfachim measured from the top of the bed. Okay, makes some sense. Shulchan Aruch doesn't really consider it that way. I think that the way the Mishnah Berurah writes this is it's tentfachim from the floor. But anyway, so let's see. It says here, Hagva min amita asar psul, avi yishin lagag, shanin naklitin dekvi. Gemara says that they're kavua. Wait a minute, ikvi, levi kikinopos, or kinofos. So wait a minute, so then if we're treating the naklitin like they're attached to the bed and therefore they have a status of something like kavua and it's therefore a more I don't know, a stronger structure that has some status of being a structure. Therefore, the Gog has a kind of a status of a Gog, even if it's only two posts holding up the canopy. So then it should have the same status as kinu posts, and then it should be possible even less than 10 tefachim. Because that was the point. The point was that naklitin are kosher as long as they're less than 10, but kinufos are psulim even less than 10. So the Gemara answer is, okay, well, a compromise. I mean, legabi kinufos lo kvi, legabi ki lo kvi. The naklitin are treated like middle status. So the kinufos, if you have a canopy being supported by the four posts on the side, that's always possible no matter how low down, how close to the bed it is. If you have a two-pole support structure for your kind of draped privacy screen, so that's going to be kosher as long as it's low enough. But the kila, which is a separate kind of a frame altogether, seems to be exempt from any of these constraints, and the kila is fine. Question, I guess the kila would have to be only with two poles, or, as from the previous sugya, lower than 10. Okay, and then when the Shulchan Aruch quotes all this, the Shulchan Aruch follows like all of these guidelines, these three statuses, that if you have a canopy on your bed that has the held up by the four corner posts, so no good. If it's a naklitin, then that's okay as long as it's machlokes, whether it has to be under 10 tefachim. The Shulchan Aruch has the two opinions about that. And the kila, as long as the kila is under 10 tefachim is kasher, or if it only has two supporting poles, then it's kasher.
10 tefachim, that's from the ground or from the bed?
Mishnah Berurah calls it from the ground. All right, a new rule, which seems to be against everything we've seen. Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna publicized the following policy to his congregation, I suppose. Mutar lishon bekila afal pi sheyesh la gag. You're allowed to sleep in one of these kila structures, even if it has a gag, which means even if it has a horizontal gag. Afal pi shegvo asara, even if it's 10 tefachim tall. So wait a second, so that goes against what we've seen. Gemara says, come on, Rebbe Yehuda. He's passing to Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Remember Rebbe Yehuda, throughout the whole Masechta, we're going to be seeing Rebbe Yehuda's Shita, where he has a different view about the structure of the Sukkah. We saw him at the very beginning of the Masechta, which one opinion in the Gemara was that he holds Sukkah Diras Keva Ba'inan. So one Sukkah Diras Keva Ba'inan, so then like, everything is all different. So then these little flimsy canopy structures are not going to be a threat to the status of the sukkah in the sense that it's not going to count as a gag at all. So he holds lo asi ohal arai at all, umavatel ohal keva. The Rabbi Huda, the Tana, would say that an ohal arai on your bed is not going to be mevatel ohal keva of the structure of the sukkah. And therefore, so if you're going to hold like Rabbi Huda, which we don't, then you're going to say you can sleep in any kind of a canopy. This nan, where do you see Rabbi Huda's sheet about this? Am Rabbi Huda, nohagin hayinu lishan tachas hamita b'fnei hazikainim. Rabbi Huda said that our minhag was to sleep under the bed, b'fnei hazikainim. So our Gemara earlier asked this kasha. It said, wait a minute, what about sleeping under the bed? We said that you're allowed to sleep under the bed before, it said. And then the Gemara made a chiluk between if the bed is 10 tefachim high or not. So that's what we hold. Shulchan Aruch holds that chiluk. If you want to sleep under the bed, if you really are running out of room and you have beds in the sukkah, you can actually squeeze some people underneath the bed as long as the bed is under 10 tefachim of height. We consider the bed like to be like a blanket. So in other words, it doesn't pose a problem with having a gag.
Is that like a flimsy b'di'evah?
No, it's not completely. You can sleep under the bed as long as the bed is lower than 10 tefachim tall.
I mean, if you think about it, nobody says that you can't be under a blanket or in a sleeping bag.
Exactly. So you can you treat the bed like it's your blanket.
Most people only sleep in a sleeping bag or a bed.
Right.
Okay.
And we don't say you can't have anything.
Parts of the body. Okay.
Right.
Sleeping under the bed, it's all under the bed. Normally, you're not going to sleep.
That's
under
true.
The bed, head sticking out. Then you're
That's
not
true.
The bed.
But so what? So on the cold days, you're under a sleeping bag, totally, inside. So I don't know. That's not an issue. The issue that doesn't pass.
Could you look at Khila bring in a
Right, so if you want to use the bunk bed, you'd have to just make sure that the dimensions work out, but you'd be allowed.
I mean, but is that okay?
Sure.
Even l'chatchila?
Even l'chatchila.
Otherwise, people will be scrunched?
No, it's
fine.
It depends if you say 10 tefachim.
Yeah, just have to, right, you have to make sure that the dimensions work out. Yeah, yeah. If you want to put in a cot, and then you want to put in a bed, but you put on those bed, you know, those kind of those support, those raising things, so then you could maximize this space. That's okay. Anyway, that's what it says. But in this case, Rabbi Yehuda was saying, the Tana says that Mishnah was saying that Rabbi Yehuda was saying that they would sleep under the bed, even a tall bed. Okay, so we're going to have to see. When we get to Dav Chaf, you'll see how the other Tanoim and the Amoraim held about Rabbi Yehuda's report there that we used to do that. Anyway, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa, so that's why the Gemara says that would be okay to have his Kila. Gemara says, well, why did it have to be Darash that you're allowed to sleep in the Kila? What? Lema halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. You could just say that we pass with Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, well, no. Yomer halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, hava mina hani mili mita dila gaboa suya. No, if all he had said was that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda about the bed, so then I wouldn't necessarily know that I can do that with a canopy, because there might be a distinction between beds and canopies. In what way? The bed, the whole point of the bed is to hold you on it, on top of it. So maybe of course it doesn't have a status of a kind of a roof or a gag, because it's legaba asuya, because its function is to support what's above it. Aval kila. But the kila structure, the letocha asuya, whose function is in order to serve as a protection for the inside, in other words, it functions as a gag, aim alo. Maybe holding the Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have been sufficient. So kamash malan, so that's why the, what is it, darashu? Rabbi Barav Huna had to say kind of explicitly that even the Kila B'Yikitayim of the Rabbi Yehuda, de lo asya ohel arai mevad lo keva, that the reason why the bed is okay is because the ohel arai, the bed would count as an ohel, just that if it's tall enough. And the fact that you can sleep under it, it would cover the same explanation, would be the same justification to sleep under a Kila. Lo shna mita, lo shna Kila.
Well, Rabbi Yehuda earlier, yeah.
That's Rav Yehuda the Amora. This is Rebbe Yehuda the Tana.
Oh, okay.
So, right. So we're not holding like Rebbe Yehuda the Tana, and we would hold like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. All right, the Mishnah says, so anyway, that's the end of that sugya. Okay, new Mishnah. Hidla aleha esa gefen v'esa dilas v'esa kisus v'sika chalgaba psula. If you took, let's say, vines or branches from a tree or something, and you kind of draped them over the sukkah, so obviously we all know that the schach cannot be still attached to the ground. So that's psula. So that's going to be possible because the schach has to be made of something that's not attached to the ground. I don't really know what all these things are. The gefen is a vine, the dilas and the kisus, you probably could tell me what plants these are, but it doesn't matter. They're all the same.
Dilas is
pumpkin.
How are you going to do that? The pumpkin grows in such a way that you could, while it's still attached to the ground, you could drape it over the...
It has weight to it, but it's a squash.
No, but what plant, what part of the plant is growing high enough that you could drape it over
a... Thing.
Well, you can
take
you
the whole thing like a grapevine. You're going to take grapevines as small.
Yeah, but did you detach it? Did you tear it out of the ground?
No,
you don't tear it. It grows on a long vine.
Oh, it does. Okay, so it grows on a vine. So you could kind of pull the...
Vine.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can also have a scenario where you have your yard is over here. And
that's
you have
true.
You have a higher yard over
right,
here.
Right, that's true. It could be that the ground next to my sukkah is up near this half level. That's true. All right, anyway, if you did that, in other words, if I took any plants that are still attached and I threw them over my frame and made it as my schach, then that's possible. The imhaya, why? Because it has to be detached. The imhaya siko harbe mehen. But what if I have kosher schach? It's just that I'm supplementing with this. But most of the coverage on my sukkah is from the kosher schach. So then it says, that's fine. So then I can have a little bit of schach pasel. That's always the rule. I can have a little schach pasel up there, as long as I have rov, it's a schach kosher. And then the Mishnah says something very important that's going to take us for the rest of the daf. Oh, shekitzatzan, kishera. Or if he had chopped the plant down where it was growing, or on top, I guess, or wherever, somewhere, if you detach it, so then kishera. So that's going to be our question. The question is, wait a minute, that's sufficient? I can build my sukkah puzzle and then fix it by chopping down the plant from the ground on the side, and that fixes the problem? So that's what's going to occupy the rest of the daf. Anyway, Zehaklal, this is a basic rule about tzchach, and we all know this rule to be the case. Zehaklal, kol davar, or kol shehu mekabel tumah ve'ein gidula min ha'aretz. Ein mesachachin bo. Any kind of an object which is mekabel tumah, which usually means a kli, that kli is mekabel tumah, or food, that's mekabel tumah. Ve'ein gidula min ha'aretz, or it didn't grow from the ground. So if I have either of these flaws, ein mesachachin bo. And of course, that's in addition to the one that we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is that if it's still attached to the ground, it's possible. So you end up with the three rules. The three rules is like as follows: Kol davar she'ein mekabel tuma, any item that's not mekabel tuma. Generally speaking, it's not mekabel tuma if it is not a kli or if it's not food. Then it means it's like the plants. V'gidulam min ha'aretz, and it grew from the ground, as opposed to, I don't know, other materials. Like metal, for example, is possible because not gidulim in ha'aretz. It doesn't grow. And leather is possible. And in our world, you know, all the synthetics are going to be possible. The mesachachin bo. You'll be able to use that again, provided that it's not still currently attached to the ground. So those are the three rules about sukkahs, about schach.
So if you have the schach, and you have the gourds on it, or the grapes, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the gourds and grapes themselves are pasul because those are food.
Say, that's the part that you have to, if you're going to let it grow over and you cut it, okay, you still got to take all the fruit off.
Right, all the food is still going to be pasul.
Right.
Those are the rice of psulim, food.
Don't you have to put water on them or whatever to make them have shirlo kabel tuma? But if you never did that or you never purposely did that.
It's a good taina. What if I have foods that haven't had their hechsher, so they're not mekabel tuma yet? Yeah, there's like a theoretical discussion about that. Not, I don't think it's in the Gemara, but that's not relevant. The postgame don't take that seriously. That if you have unhuchshar food, that's still going to be pasul ischa. All right, the Gemara says Yosef Rav Yosef kamei the Rav Huna veYosef ikoamar. Rav Yosef the Amora was sitting there kamei the Rav Huna. Viko Amar, and he said the following: Oh Shekitzatzan, when the Mishnah says Oh Shekitzatzan, that you chopped the plants down from where they were growing, Kishera, that rule in the Mishnah, V'Amar Rav made the following comment: Tzarech Lenaneya, you can't just do that and leave it that way. You can't just do that and leave it that way. Because of the problem of tasa velomina asui. That's what's driving the whole discussion. The Mishnah here is, is not dealing with, but our Gemara is going to be dealing with the issue of tasa velomina asui. I don't think we had that issue yet. The Pasuk says, Chagasukos tasa l'chashivas yamim. Right? Chagasukos tasa l'chashivas yamim. And if you've been paying attention earlier on and now and continuing, We're gonna make a drasha on every word of that pasuk. Chag is chal shem shmaim al sukkah. So every pasuk, every word in that pasuk refers to some rule regarding the structure of the sukkah. Chag, hasukos, tasa, lecha, shivas yamim, v'aspecha, b'gornach miyachem. Look, every phrase is telling me some rule about the sukkah. So chag tells me that it's asbahana, and tasa means v'lo min ha'asui. And lecha, it has to be either yours and not gazul, and shivas yamim, it has to be real. And so every phrase is going to have a rule regarding sukkah. So when it says tasa, v'lo min ha'asui, the pasuk says that the sukkah has to be, not just that it has to meet the conditions, but it has to be constructed tasa, v'lo min ha'asui. And it can't just be that the structure of the sukkah was there by itself, and all you've done is enabled somebody to be in it. And so the what's happening in our Gemara is that you have a structure that you built, but you built it puzzle. And then the way you're going to fix it is not by asiya. It's by detaching the growth of the plant from the ground, in which case then automatically it becomes now kasher l'schach. So now, is that called min ha'asui or is that called tasa? So that's the issue. So Rav said, that's not good enough to just cut down the plants on the, from the roots, from the ground. Tzarech l'naneh, you're going to have to now go and take every one of those things and pick it up and put it back down. Rashi likes comments. You have to go to everyone, and you have to lift it up and put it back down so that you did a ma'isa asiya on all of the schach that now you've made kosher. Okay, so this is what Rav Yosef, who is sitting in front of Rav Huna, is reporting about Rav. Amar le Rav Huna, so Rav Huna tells back to him, Ha Shmuel Amra. You know, Shmuel says that. So Ahadrenu Rav Yosef Liape, so Rav Yosef gets all indignant, and he turns around, Viomerle, and he says to him, Atu miko amin alach delo amra Shmuel? Amra Rav v'amra Shmuel. Did I say Shmuel doesn't say that? All I said was that Rav says that. So fine, so Rav says it and Shmuel says that. I don't know, I guess they were touchy. Maybe Rav Yosef was particularly touchy, I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe because Rav and Shmuel often disagreed. So he wanted to make sure that you shouldn't infer from that.
Right, so who's saying that? Is it that Rav Yosef, the reporter that said Rav says it, who's willing to accept that Shmuel also says it? So what did he have to be indignant about? It was when Rav Huna says to him, you know, Shmuel says that. So he could have said, oh, good to know, or I know, or, I mean, he didn't have to get all indignant for that.
Shmuel says it.
Often, sometimes, disagree. So we're going to actually discover, right. So now Rav Huna says back to him, no, you're wrong. Amar le Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, I know that you were receptive to the possibility that Shmuel said it also, and that you're reporting Rav is saying it. I'm arguing with you. I'm telling you you're wrong. Hachiku abinelach. The Shmuel amra velo Rav. You're wrong. That you reported the name of Rav was actually, that's false. That's not Rav's shita. Rav achshuri machshir kiha. Rav achshuri machshir. Rav would actually allow the sukkah as is without having to go and replace every piece of the plant that you now just chopped down. Kiha de Rav Amram chasida. Now, this is Rav Huna, who's interpreting what Rav said in different contexts and saying that he would also agree in this case, you know, what I said, that therefore the fact that somebody is saying you have to replace all the pieces, that's Shmuel, not Rav. So what was the analogous case? This is very cute. Rav Achshuri Machshir, because the Gehad Rav Amram Chasida, because, you know, Rav Amram Chasida, one of the Amoraim, Rav Amram the Chasid, Rama techelta le parzuma the inchi basi. So he was putting on tzitzis onto his wife's talis. Tilan vilo pasak reshi chutit shalahen. And the way he did it was, and of course, at this point, we're kind of puzzled about why his wife is wearing tzitzis and why is he putting the tchelas onto his wife's tzitzis. But that's just what it is, that Rashi does point out that he held that women are obligated in tzitzis. Why would anybody hold women are exempt from tzitzis? It's because we hold it's daytime, not nighttime. It's a mitzvah sasesh as man grama. But that's a machlokas atanaim here, and a machlokas, I guess, amorayim had a paskin. Whether or not Laila is man tzitzis or lazman tzitzis. So if you held Laila is man tzitzis, then it's 24/7. So women and men are the same. So that's what he held, that men and women are the same. Tosus gets into a question about here, what's the relationship between shema and tzitzis? And Tosis over here makes their point about how, you know, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Durabanan. Tosis several times, and we've seen this even a few times, that Tosis makes takes the position that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Lav Deoraisa. It's not in this Taryag mitzvah, it's Durabanan. This is one of the Tosis in where he has that point. Anyway, Tosas also tell us that we don't paskin garamam chasid, we paskin that women are exempt from tzitzis, as we all know. So it says here that he was putting tzitzis onto the beged of his, on talis of his wife. Talis just means beged, as you know. And t'loan velo pasak rashe chutin shelohen. And what he did was, he would take a long string. Apparently, that you know, they would have like a ball of tzitzis string, so that if you needed tzitzis, so you have a whole big ball of long, long, long piece of tzitzis string. So you take it and you run the string through. So what he did was talan velo pasak rashi chutin shelahem, but he didn't cut the string in such a way as to end up with the actual individual strings until after they were through the beged. Also, l'kamei de Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar le, hachi Amar Rav. So now, actually, he had been thinking about this. He was wondering, well, is that okay? So Rav Chiya Barashi reports that Rav, hachi Amar Rav, mif paskon v'heim ksherin. Just cut the ends of the string. You have the string is running through the hole, you know, and coming across, and then you have the loops at the end. So the string just keeps going. It's like one long string that runs in and out and through and back. And so just cut off the part where it's turned, so they end up with the actual individual strings hanging down. And that's all you need to do. So Alma, psika san zohi asiya san. Hachanami, ketsitsa san zohi asiya san. So what do you see? You see that if tzitzis also, the pasuk says, gedilim ta'aseh lecha, right? So you have to make the tzitzis too. It's also subject to the same v'lo min ha'asui rule. And therefore, if you make the tzitzis that are pasul, but then you remove the thing that was the problem, in this case it would be you don't have individual strings, you have one long string that's running through and doubled back, well, you can fix that problem by cutting off the attach where the single string doubles back. So you cut up, now you have all the strings are properly individual now. And
they're all the same size.
Right, of course. Nothing's stopping us from doing that too. Just that in that case, I guess it has to be that way because that's the way you're making it is by cutting them all down to size. So and he was talking about tchelis, which means just think about what this means. It means like this. It means if you gotta pull this off, it means you have a ball of white string and a ball of tchelis string. You take one white string, right? And you pull it out to around 2 feet long, about, you know, it's about what a thing would be. You double it back over, and then you take folded over part, and you poke that through, and that's your white. And then you do the same thing for the tchelis, and you poke that through, and you get the tchelis, assuming like Tosfos, like Ashkenazi policy, about half and half. And then you end up with, you know, like one long doubled over white, one long doubled over blue. And now, but they're still attached to the ball on the other end, I guess, or maybe. And now you take them and you get them into the right position. And then at that point, you could already tie them on and then wonder, and you can actually start making the, now you can tie them on and you could wonder like, well, wait a minute, at what point do I have to actually trim, cut the bottom so that I have the individual 8 strands at the bottom? So that's what we're being told over here, is that Rav said, it doesn't matter, anytime. It's pasul as is, but you could fix the problem by cutting the bottoms, and once you cut the bottoms, then that's called ta'ase. That's called tzitz gedilim ta'ase. That's called the asiya. And the point being that the pesikas ha-tzitzis is your ma'isa asiya. So you did it, ta'ase. Same thing for kitzitza. So that's what he holds. That's what Rav Huna was saying that Rav would say about the sukkah case, and therefore the fact that you chopped them from the ground, that's called you made a sukkah with schach kasher. That's the way he's understanding that this is connected. Wait a minute. But now the objection is, you mean that Shmuel would deny that? Why are you saying that Shmuel says you'd have to replace all the schach pieces? Wait a minute, but we have a different story about involving Shmuel, that somebody, that if you, let's say, ran the string across both corners kind of simultaneously, V'achakach pasak rashay hachutin shelahen. So you ran the string across both, and then you doubled it back, I guess. So now what did I do? So Shmuel, and then you cut the string down in the middle. So it comes out that having cut the string in the middle, now it turns out that I have strings in the corners. Yachakach pasak rashay hachutin shelahen. So my love, so now the Gemara is saying, in order for this question to be a meaningful question, my love should kosher the achagach posek. Well, isn't it clear, or wouldn't it also imply that, and this is again Shmuel saying is okay, that I already tied the strings onto each knot, and then I cut the strings to separate the chronos. The Gemara says, wouldn't that also be the same as what Rav said? The Gemara says, lo, shepos agacha kosher. No, Shmuel didn't allow that. Shmuel would only allow you to cut the strings and then to tie the strings onto the corners. The Gemara says, what? Posek agacha kosher, my lemeimra. Well, if all he said was that you cut the strings and then you tie the strings onto the corners, so what did he, what needed to be said? What was the point? Everybody would, that's pshita. Gemara says, not that pshita. No, it's not obvious. I would have thought that maybe the yasi has to be at the time that you put the strings through the corner. Maybe the time that I put the strings into the beged, it has to already be kosher. But I can't put pasul strings through and then snip them and make them kosher afterwards. So kamash melan, that's not a problem. Okay, so what really is the problem? We're going to have to see here. Let's keep going. Meisavei, wait a second. There's a brisa that says the following. Talon velo pasak rashi chutin shelahen psulin. The brisa says that if I put the string through without cutting it, and then I cut it, then psulim. That's pasal. My lab psulim liolam. Doesn't pasal mean pasal? And there's nothing that I can do to fix it. I have to redo the whole thing. Utiyufta derav. So that's against Rav. Because Rav said that I can cut the strings, and that counts as the Maisa Asiya. So Amar Lach Rav. So Rav would answer that Braisa doesn't say psulim forever. Read the Braisa carefully. All it says is Talon velo pasuk rashi chutzin shelahen psulim. If you put the string through and you didn't cut the strings, it's pasul. Yeah, it's pasul because now cut it. Now it'll be kosher. Psulim hachayi pasku. It's pasul until you cut him, and then when you cut him, everything's good. Shmuel amar psulim liolam. Shmuel would hold that psulim liolam. In other words, Shmuel holds that would be a psul of minha asui. V'chein amar Levi psulim liolam. V'chein amar Rav Matna amar Shmuel psulim liolam. Okay, so that it does set up a machlokas Rav Shmuel about whether a tasav elamin asui problem where the fix was that I repaired the damage externally. Is that called an asiya, or is that minha asui? Ika di amri, amar Rav Masna, bididi havi uvda v'yaseh l'kami d'mar Shmuel v'yamar li psulim li'olam. Others have it that Shmuel actually literally told Rav Masna that, oh, this is what you did, so it's possible. You're going to have to untie and then retie, and you can't fix it once it was put in and tied b'psul. Meisvei t'lon v'achach pasal grashi chuntin shalahen psulim. Wait a minute. Here's a brisa, another brisa. It says that if you put the strings in and then you cut the ends, psulim. So again, that brisa does not seem to be saying much. But v'yod tanya gabi suka tasa v'lo min asuoi mikan amru hidla aleha es hagefen v'es hadilas v'es hakisus v'sikach chagaben psula. Okay, so now we're going to now deal with, you know, these Amoraim, Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to see how they relate to these Braisa and Mishnah. But let's see. Before we get to that, I just want to point out something that Rashi had a comment on Amud Aleph that said, everybody agrees to the psul of Ta'asa v'lo min ha'asui. Everybody agrees that that is what Ta'asa refers to in the Pasuk, and that therefore there's a situation of min ha'asui which will be pasul. But even Rav would say there's such a case. Okay, so what would it look like for Rav? What would it be for the sukkah to be pasul mitam ta'asa v'lo min ha'asui? So Rashi just said, well, that's the case that the Mishnah gives later on. The Mishnah gives the following. It says, if you have a haystack is made of hay. Hay is kosher l'schach. And so if you have a big haystack and you burrow out a hole in the middle of the haystack, so it looks like I just built a sukkah, because now I have a sukkah made of saf kasher, and I made the interior dimensions large enough to be kasher as a sukkah. So that the Mishnah says is possible. That's no good, because in Asui, because it has to be l'shem tzel, you have to have the sukkah, the staff has to be made, l'shem tzel, that's what we saw already earlier in the parak. And this would be min ha'asui. Everybody would agree to that. So that's just a point that Rashi makes, that it isn't that machlokes about tasu min ha'asui, it's machlokes about whether the asiyah that you did outside regarding to fix the psul, is that called asiyah, or is that not called asiyah? And then let me also point out that the Ramah has an extraordinary policy regarding this thing, related to this, which is, what if I build a sukkah inside my house? That's totally possible. I can't use that. But then I remove the roof. Or I build my sukkah underneath the tree, because I'm figuring sometime soon the tree removal guys are going to trim the branches off in the tree. So Ramah says that's perfectly fine. That is perfectly fine, and no reason to worry about Tasav Laman Asui, because the Asiyas HaSukkah was totally kosher, totally kosher. And the only thing is that I can't use a sukkah that's inside a building because of the roof. But if I can fix that problem, so then my sukkah was Asui B'kashas. That's the way the Mishnah says. Mishnah Berurah quotes Magad Ram, who objects, but Mishnah Berurah denies that is actually what the Magad Ram was saying, in which case Mishnah Berurah feels that this is Likuli Alma. Likuli Alma. Anyway, so let's look back at our sugi over here. So we have one brisa that says about the strings, that it's puzzle. And then a similar brisa about the Hidlasa Devon Hidlas Isus Vesikah Chagabin Psula. So now, Hechidami, the Gemara is now asking, what's the case? Ilema Bishaloket Satsan? Are we talking about that the branches are still growing? So my area Mishim Tasu Lamina Asuik, they relate to Mechubar Ninu. So obviously that can't be what's going on, because all those things are still psulim right now. So it's not a psul of Tasa Velomina Asui. The Braisa is focusing on Tasa Velomina Asui. So Ela B'Sheket Satsan. So obviously we're talking about that you chop them down. The Kathani Psula. And you see that just chopping it down isn't enough, and it's still possible. So Shemamin Adelo Amrina Ketzitzas Zoyasi Yasan V'Yatuf Tidarav. So you see that chopping it down is not going to count, not going to fix the problem. And so it's a kash against Rav. Amalach Rav. Rav said, no, that's not true. Hacha mayaskina dishalfinu shalufi delo minkara siyadidhu. So Rav says, no, we're talking about that what you did was you kind of wove the schach puzzle into the schach kasha, the growing schach into the other schach, so that what happened was that by cutting it down, it wasn't nikar that you did any asiya. What's the principle over there? It was never really that clear to me. Exactly what Rav was saying was what was going on. Okay. Rav has some kind of a svara why that should make it worse. So Kamash Milan, that in a normal case, though, the ketzitza will count as a ma'isa asiya. The Gemara says, well, I don't care, whatever you say about the sukkah, but talan v'achakach pasak kashya l'rav. But the first case was the tzitzis case, where it said explicitly exactly what you said, Rav, and it says in the brisa that it's kasher. I mean, that it's pasul, and you said it would be kasher. Talan v'achakach pasak kashya l'rav. That's true. The Gemara says kasha. That's true. I mean, it's not, he doesn't, he's not deterred so much by it, but that's true. He would have a hard time answering that, Brysa. So the Gemara thinks, wait a minute, Lema Ketanoi, maybe we have a similar Machlokas HaTanoim going on regarding the Lulav and Esrog. Maybe we got maybe one of our first mentions of Lulav and Esrog. So there's a similar kind of an issue regarding Lulav and Esrog. So just in order to understand this, you have to know a few things. Lulav and Esrog, the Dalet Minim, is a question whether it needs to be assembled. Now, we always assemble our Dalet Minim, the three Minim and the Esrog separate. So when we assemble our three Minim, is that part of the mitzvah, to assemble the Minim? Is there like a mitzvah of Asiyah, Lulav Tzarech Eged, that it has to be attached, and then if you have the pieces individually, that doesn't count as a mitzvah, even if you're holding them together? So that's a machlokes that tonight lulav tzarech eged is the asiya of the dalbinim. The second issue is if it does need to be assembled, then is it subject to the tasav lamin ha'asui problem? So in other words, does it have a maisa asiya associated with it? In which case you have to worry about min ha'asui. And so that's what we're going to see over here. So what's an example of what's going on over here? Lema get tonight is a machlokes that tonight has the following issue. Avar v'liktan pasul de Rabbi Shimon bar Yehud Sadak v'chachamim machshirim. What's the case? The case is that I have hadasim that are psulim. The hadasim are psulim if they have too many berries on them. The hadasim, we don't know about this, but apparently hadasim that grow out there grow with berries also, and that when they cut them down, the berries are okay as long as there are not too many of them, but there's too many, then it becomes pasul. So you can fix it by just pulling off all the berries, no problem. So what happens if, and you're not allowed to pull off the berries on Yantif, so what happens if you did? Avar v'liktan, pasul, divrei b'shem ben Yehud Sadak. And Chachami Machshirim, so it's Machlok Zatanayim about pulling off the berries from the Hadasim on Yontif, which you weren't allowed to do in the first place, but the question is whether it's kosher or not. So Savruas and the Amoraim felt that they understand this Machlok Zatanayim as follows. Everybody's agreeing, both sides of this Machlokes are holding that you have to build the Gimel Minim, Lulav Tzarech Eged, and Yalfinan Lulav Meisuka, Dechsiv Gabi Suka Tasav Elamin Asui. And that the requirement of asiya tasa velomina asui and the psul of minha asui applies to the dalbinim also. So now what's the machlokes? So the machlokes is my love, but how come if legi demar machshir deman machshir savar amrin and gabi suka kitzitza san zohi asiya san gabi lulav nami amrin lakita san zohi asiya san. The one who holds that it's kasher holds that, well, just like the asiya of cutting down the growing plants counts as asiya, so too, the asiya of tearing off the berries will count as making the hadasim. So it'll be called asiya.
In the situation of mitzvah habamana,
right? Yeah, except the Gemara never considers the chilul Shabbos or chilul Yontif as a problem mitzvah habamana. So as a question, why? But you never find that application. Mande pasal savar lo amrina gabi suka kitzitzas and zoe asiya san. That came up like 3 days ago, right? The whole tasav elamina, the whole problem of baba veira came up earlier. So I guess we don't have enough time to explore. Anyway, so the Gemara is now saying that seems to be the machlokes, namely the machlokes atanayim. So in other words, maybe Rav is just citing like one side, and then the other Amoraim holding like the other side in this Machlok Satanoim. So then the Gabi Lulav, Nami Amrina, Lakita Sazoe Yasiya San, Mande Pasal, and the one who holds that that's Pasal, Savar Lo Amrina, and Gabi Sukha, Kitsitsa San, Zoe Yasiya San, the Gabi Lulav, Nami Lo Amrina, and Lakita Sazoe Yasiya San. Maybe that's the Machlok Satanoim. Mora says, Lo. Obviously, in order to interpret it this way, you have to be assuming a whole bunch of things. So, lo, the kuli alma lo amrina gabi suka kitzitzas and zoe siyasan. No. The other amoraim are saying that's not what's going on. Nobody other than Rav is holding kitzitzas and zoe siyasan. V'hacha b'melef lulav me suka kamiflegi. You could explain the machlokes very simply that everybody would agree that just fixing the problem externally is not going to make us see ya. The only question is, but maybe that doesn't matter for lulav and esrog. Maybe it only matters for sukkah. The hacha b'meilaf lulav me'sukkah kabiflegi. The machlokes is about whether the standards of sukkah apply to lulav. Ma de machshir saver lo yalfina lulav me'sukkah. Ma de pasul saver yalfina lulav me'sukkah. Maybe that's what's going on. V'bayis ema. Alternatively, we can explain it a different way. Isavira lande lulav tzarech eged kuli yavelo plegi di yalfina lulav me'sukkah. Maybe. Well, look. I mean, if everybody really did agree that lulav tzarech eged, then maybe that's what they were arguing about yalfina, and then maybe everybody would agree yalfina lulav misuka. But no, that's good for the machlokas. Mar sever tzarech eged, mar sever ain't tzarech eged. Oh, maybe that whole machlokas about the berries is the machlokas whether you have to build your dalad minim. Mar sever tzarech eged, mar sever ain't tzarech eged. And that we know is the following explicit machlokes to Tanya, like the Braisa says, Bein agud, bein she'enu agud, kasher. Rabbi Huda omer agud kasher, she'enu agud pasul. Machlokes ha'tanoim, about lulav tzarech eged ma'akev. where that the Tanakama holds lulav without an egget is kosher, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that lulav tzarich egget without it is pasul. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that it needs an egget and without it is pasul? Yalef lekicha lekicha me agudas ezov. Ksivasam ulakachtem agudas ezov, and ksivacha ulakachtem lachem yom harishon. Right, so the pasuk about agudas ezov on the doorposts, that was in aguda, and over here lekachtem the gimel minim malahalan beagudav kan beaguda, and it's ma'akev and it's a chiluk of the mitzvah. The rabbanan, what do the other tanaim hold against Rabbi Yehuda? Lekicha me lekicha lo yalfinan. So they don't like the exer shava. Right. There's no reason. There's no such thing as tasa on the dalmina. We just have to have them. That's it.
If I have a dasa nut or pasul and I pull up all the berries.
No problem. That's why it would be not even an issue. Not even an issue. Right. You're not allowed to on Yontif. You're allowed to before Yontif. That's what you would do. That's the standard point. The point is that you would rip off all the berries before you need it, and then you have it.
Why not on Yontif? Because it's mukta?
No. It doesn't say because it's mukta. Because you're handling it, so that wouldn't be a problem.
Pull grapes off a vine.
Yeah. So there's a different thing. It's misakin kli. It's tikkun kli, because you're making an object that's pasul into an object that becomes kosher. So it's a tikkun kli. And the Rishonim say that it's tikkun kli derabanan. Because min haTorah, that doesn't count enough of a tikkun, and derabanan, that's a tikkun derabanan. So that's why possibly, you know, b'diavad, it wouldn't be a problem.
It's
so.
It's really a tikkun. You're not talking the kli. You're talking it so that it's.
The hadassah is pasul lemitzvah. Now it's kosher lemitzvah.
Right, but that's not
talking
a kli. Usually means
right. So in a Torah, it wouldn't be counted as a tikkun kli. In a Rabbanan, it's a tikkun. That's why they asked it. That's the way it's described. So wait a minute. This is actually now halacha lemaisa coming up over here. Kamana azla ha de sanya lulav mitzvah ogdo v'im lo ogdo kasher. Who is the author of the following anonymous braisa? It says. You mitzvah le'ogdo, you have to bind the gimel minim, v'im lo'ogdo, but b'di'avad, if you didn't have an eged, kosher. Who would say such a thing? Rabbi Yehuda, ki lo'ogdo, am I kosher? It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds it b'di'avad pasul. Rabbanan, am I mitzvah? But it can't be Rabbanan either, because if according to Rabbanan, there's no need for an eged. So why does it say mitzvah? Gemara answers, Liolam Rabbanan hi umishum shen emar zek heli venvehu hisna elefana v'mitzvos. The reason why you do the binding, and this halach lemaisa what we hold lulav ein tzarech eged, but lechatchila you do anyway, because of zek heli venvehu hisna elefana v'mitzvos. That's the pasuk that tells me hider mitzvah. So for purposes of hider mitzvah, we put the dalabim together, the gimel minim together with an eged. It's not because it needs it with an asiya, it's because it just accomplishes a nicer chefza shel mitzvah, apparently. And that's why, you know, you had all kinds of rules about, well pretty much like permissions to be ma'agid with pretty much anything that you want to, and the only objection you get involved in is the chatzitza when it comes to holding the dalet minim. Okay, let's stop here.
Okay.